and it's written this way, and this way. It's in three dimensions. It says the same thing, frontwards, backwards, and a question. It always comes out the same. It says the same thing whether you ask it a question or put it in any of the conditions. So, we're establishing for the vacancies of this house of the chosen parties are with these claims of the duties. By these contracts. By these contracts with these states of these venues.
Shouldn't it be for these contracts? For these contracts.
See, if the balance is wrong, the sentence
by
won't work.
For these contracts.
With these contracts.
By these states.
In these venues. For the people of the venues are with the states of these contracts for the duties of these claims with these chosen parties of this house for the vacancies of the people.
You can't have two buys in that sentence, can you?
Sure. For the vacancies.
Yeah.
Oh, see, now the word house here and parties. House came before parties. Well, we have chosen parties for the vacancies of, for any vacancies of any party of this house. There.
So what you're saying then, if you write a document to the court, you take something in, you got to have every single sentence be positive?
Yes, it's a performance. This here is a contract that does for of. R is thinking. With of. With by. In possessive, the same as with by. I can use the word with here too.
So what you got to do is make it so that it's always in the present tense as of now.
Yes.
In every single
because
word.
Now will always be now.
Now. It's never the past, never the future. It's now.
It's now.
So
where do you get your 80% of it? I mean, you're 100%
of them by.
Here's a 20 because we're in the middle of a sentence. We haven't come to a conclusion yet. With these contracts of the state, or by the state.
What does that 20 use?
You have prepositional phrases that have different, prepositions that have different values of strength. A by preposition has about an 80% value versus an of preposition, which has about a 20% value of authority.
Okay.
Because you're going into a contract. You're adding up points of for any vacancies of any party of this house.
And what's the value of these?
I would say this should be with because this we got a four of with this house of. These now in government we are called representatives. What would be another word that would be a representative that would be quantum?
Ambassador.
Bossily.
What did she call it?
Bossily. B-A-S-A-L-E-E.
A bossily is a servant employee.
Oh,
but is a representative. servant employee. It took us 18 months to find these words. We had to look up what the word servant, what is a servant, is a vassal. Because he's employed and pulls a paycheck, he is now an employee. So he's a servant employee of we the people. Therefore, the vassali became the word that we chose. It was copyrighted, and a new word had to be given to the English language because there were no words to identify a servant employee. So when we wrote our lawsuits, we had a claimant and a vassali. Used to be known as the petitioner and respondent. But what is a re? But a no.
No.
You were guilty until proven innocent. You, if you're dead on the paper, you had no ability to win a case. You were always guilty. We took a sentence that said the vacancies were going to be replaced from a negative standpoint, and we gave it a positive performance, and we created a new sentence. And then you, the people, as you looked at this, said, well, if the prepositions and articles are out of position, they don't make sense. They don't have balance. So we go back and we do a collective thinking. And all of you get together and participate. And you write a sentence that now has a volition. That is a performance in now time to last forever. So if anyone that we call a vassali should die or vacate, we covered that. It said any. The vacancies, VA comes from value, from valiance. See, because a vacancy is a condition of we had value and we lost it. Then we went ahead and we took that and we said, we don't call you persons. You're not corporate entities. You're parties. You have claims of a life. You have the ability to think. You're the trustee. And only a trustee can be and have a claim of the life. If you're alive, all means no, alive, which means to think. No think, you must be pro se. Pro means no, sa means speak. No speak, that's why we call you pro se.
So it's time means like in front of word? So
means no.
So that if I say I am alive, then I'm really not alive?
You're saying you're dead. Because
so
you're pro se.
I say I am.
I am. You feel like an adverb today? You must
sometimes
be alive, so you must be a dead person if you're an adverb, because if the adverbs don't have life, they're modifiers. If you're condition modification with your fact.
So then,
for the witness with the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You can't bring forth an argument and think unless you've established your knowledge first. It says, I've learned. Because if you got an IQ of 10...
If I said, I am a living human being, does that mean I'm dead? I mean, or is that... I mean.
You're not a living human being, you're a life, L-I-F-E. Thinking is the condition by which you move.
So if I am a life with flesh and blood?
Yes.
That's how I would have to address something. I am a life with flesh and blood.
No, you're a witness.
I'm a witness with flesh and blood.
Claim of life. See, what we do is we first identify you as a witness.
Because mm-hmm.
you can't make a determination of your life unless you witness it. You can't be a witness unless you have knowledge. And everybody is a witness. So first we have to know who the identity of your body is. What title are you going to carry? Are you a citizen? Well, you haven't gotten to be a citizen yet because you haven't had a contract. You first have to be a witness to yourself, and others must be a witness to you that has proven that you have the ability to communicate of two and more to make contract. Because a contract is an issue of a citizen, because a citizen joins a community. It's deductively reasoned, both frontwards and backwards. So for the witness with the knowledge, you've learned the difference between right and wrong. You wish to be right, so you join our community. Yes, now you're thinking, you're putting your motion, you're witnessing your knowledge into motion, and you sat down a claim for the citizenship to which you want to join our community.
But if you are putting yourself as a citizen, then you're putting yourself under their jurisdiction, then how do you maintain your sovereignty?
Well, you know what the government says about sovereignty?
Yeah.
We'll strip you naked. We'll put you in a boat in the middle of the ocean. Have fun trying to get to the grocery store before you starve to death.
But you said you were a sovereign individual.
Yes. My thought is sovereign. Every night I go to sleep, I can have a sovereign thought, and I can travel the universe in my sovereign thought. But that isn't going to get me to the grocery store. I'm still going to wake up in the morning, take my driver's license, which is part of my personal ID, and take my citizenship down to the grocery store and use Federal Reserve notes and buy breakfast and live another day. That's the society we have today.
Mm-hmm.
When we go ahead and we create a society of quantum language and we get this all straightened out. One is an opinion. One doesn't exist within a world of 6 billion and have maintained commerce. The current status quo running 8,500 years is a fiction. We are not going to stop commerce. We are not going to disrupt commerce. We are going to correct commerce so that it has an accuracy so no one can ever go to war or yell cheat, liar, thief, or anything else ever again. It's a slow learning process. You didn't get a high school diploma in a 3-hour course. You got it in 10 or 12 years of schooling.
So the idea then is if everybody uses this type of language, they know exactly where they're at. It's done.
Exactly.
And if it's violated, you know that there's a violation.
Absolutely. Just like a math problem.
Yeah.
3 plus 3 plus 7, I know that's wrong, and everyone else knows it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And when I want to go to another country, he's going to know exactly what the truth is, too. And when two truths come together, we're not going to have a war. We're going to have commerce take place. We're going to have honesty, trust. And as a judge, I can stand up here, and my job gets real easy.
Yeah, because now you're trying the facts. Either it's truth
black
or it's
not.
It's black and white.
Yeah.
And if you come in with 3 plus 3 equals 7, and she comes in with 3 plus 3 equals 6, and I've got a whole room full of people, isn't going to take a brain surgeon to figure out who's lying and who's not, whether it be in written contract or it be in math contract. It's pretty well black and white. It's like now they're just setting up video cameras, right? They take this picture of you speeding, doing 45 and a 50. They say, here, sit down, why don't you watch this video camera? And you go ahead and you see yourself speeding without a seatbelt on. They're going, I have a contract here that says you'll drive 30. Here's your video tape that shows you driving 45. You don't have your seatbelt on, you broke 2 laws. How would you like to handle this? You want to say you didn't do it when you have forensic evidence, or you just want to sign here and get out of your way? It's real easy. A lot of these cases don't go to court then because you don't need to have somebody arbitrate something that is a fact.
It's a definitive fact.
It's a definitive fact because it's a picture. It's not written on paper, it's a picture.
But if it's on paper,
when he transferred the paper, if the DA were to take that picture and put it on a paper, I guarantee there won't be a noun on that paper, and the continuance of evidence between this noun and this paper don't exist. This is a noun and this is a verb. Where's my continuance? Because this continuance of evidence is what makes contract legal. And if you don't have it, you've obstructed, and in every murder trial, the guy was shot with a 38, but a 22 is on the witness stand. The judge says, that's inadmissible evidence. Throw it out. Without a gun, we don't have a crime. Therefore, case dismissed. Go away.
But if there's no law or fact and it shall be tried in court, then how can they present that as a fact?
Mark goes in, this guy Mark, he goes into court and he says, I used marijuana. He says, I had it on my possession. He says, I'm going to use it in the future. Sit on a witness stand and tell this to the jury. He says the police officer didn't have a warrant to search me. There was no probable cause. He stopped the vehicle. I was a passenger in the vehicle. Had a broken taillight. Where's the probable cause to search me for drugs? The judge says, is that true? The police officer says, yeah, I just stopped because your light was off. But he says, I thought I'd check everybody and see if they had anything on them. He says, do you have a warrant for that? Probable cause? He goes, no. He says, the evidence is hereby vacated. Okay, Mr. DA, now that you don't have any evidence in this courtroom, what exactly is this man in court for? He says, we don't have it. He says, he just confessed. He says, why did you bring him here first? What came first, the truth or the fiction? The fiction came first. Therefore, the truth was null and void. Therefore, the fiction vacated. The judge says, Mr. DA, you don't have a case. Ladies and gentlemen, jury, thank you for coming. There's no evidence here to present to you, therefore we don't have a jury. This case stands adjourned. And the DA says, I'm gonna have your license, judge. Because I've got a conviction here. Judge says, no, you won't. Because you broke the rules. Well, that young attorney thought he was gonna buck the judge and went to the Court of Appeals, who suspended his license and fired him from the state of Wisconsin practicing law. because he broke the rules and regulations in his own contracts.
The attorney did?
Yeah. He violated the continuance of evidence, and he thought he could bully this violent continuance of evidence and create a fiction. A fiction that was a public embarrassment to the whole judiciary.
Yeah, I could say that
they weren't going to hear it. They pulled his license.
But now in the illustration we're using the picture, since that was paper, now it's a fact that the person, that there are the video, whatever it is.
Picture is creation thinking. Pictures, the creative thought is very unique.
But in that instance, isn't that not a fact?
If it's written properly, if you write it properly on paper, yes, you have a fact. If you don't write it properly on paper, then you have a struggle.
But no law or fact shall be tried in court.
Right.
So if it's...
In other words, here they say everything will be obstructed.
Mm-hmm.
And only the obstructions can come to court. And people don't even realize that that's taking place.
So if they presented, the DA presents the individual with the showing that he's going 45 and a 30 with no seatbelt on, that is a fact, it is established by the picture, then how can it turn around and be tried in court to determine the guilty and fine?
Because the fact, then the person says, no, it's a lie. In other words, you challenge to say there, it's a lie. And when you go to court, they'll just represent it again. And then if you commit perjury, there's forensic evidence to say you committed perjury, and that's a criminal offense. And perjury carries a 5-year prison sentence, whereas the speeding ticket only carries a $100 fine.
So they get you either way.
What do you want to do? Spend 5 years in jail or pay a $100 fine? Do the math. See, 999,999 people will go, here's my $100, I'm sorry, and walk away. And only a fool would go ahead and fuck the odds. Even though it's fiction, it's still not right in your society. And if you signed a fiction contract in, you have a fiction contract out. Because the rule of one and the rule of equal are still relevant to the continuance of evidence. If you know how to present yourself, you can win. If you don't know how to present yourself, your innocence will still put you in the continuance of evidence of fiction. And you will become a liar within their fiction. Remember, honor among thieves?
Is it?
No, there is honor among thieves. And honor has jurisdiction. And if you break your honor with your contract, you have no room in society. When you're out here in the world, we have one set of rules. If you go into prison, you're all thieves. So there's still an honor. There's a government, a separate government that is set up in there. And you don't take anything when you're in that environment. If we locked the doors in this room, we would set up a government within this room. And if you violated the laws of this room and trespassed or damaged or raped any vessel in here under the maritime law on that, this ship, this room, just like on a ship, you'd have to leave. You'd have to walk the plank and go swim with the sharks and become part of the food chain. That's not a good feeling. So you behave yourself. Because it's the right thing to do. Vessels are vessels are vessels. Yes.
Right behind you, you got these states. States, first person singular, so shouldn't it be this state? Or these states? One or the other?
No, state was singular in this condition. Because it was dealing with one venue.
Right.
Actually, this could be a venue.
How can you have authority twice in a sentence? You got by this venue, by the people.
Venue,
well, venue or state.
Okay, venue.
State be location?
You got two bys.
Okay.
You have one by, can't you?
Would the state be location?
No, I did that here. By this venue, with this, by this state, with this venue. Venue and state are actually the same word. So this...
Don't even need it. But then you got two bys, two authorities in the same sentence.
This would become an of.
That's what I said earlier.
This is a 20 and this is an 80 together to make 100.
Thank you. I feel better now.
Okay. You see, you can look at it, and it'll start cooking on you. And after it cooks for about a half an hour, you're going, well, wait a minute. If we start applying all these different rules, we go back and I check our math, we're going to find out we got doublespeak. If we got doublespeak, well, then we got a prepositional phrase that isn't balanced, and it throws the whole thing off.
But if you have the 20, 20, and 80, that's 120.
No.
They count the one.
No, I got with, of, and by. These two have become an assignment. People together create a state.
Okay.
It becomes this because a state, the word state itself, is a condition of. So you have a condition of people, you have a condition of geography.
So the idea is to come up with 80 in the mathematics of the prepositions?
No.
I mean,
come up with 100.
100.
On the assignment side of it. This is the end of the sentence. If I want to do that, we can remove this apostrophe. The people's
state.
See, now I took and we, you legally have to identify this word now because it has two definitions. Mm-hmm. One, it's a venue of thinking because it's people's condition of state, and it's also a condition of venue.
Which is location.
So this thing would have to, you would have to then have a subnote down here saying, for the state of the people is with the venue as well as with the condition of thinking. Because we've given it multiple definitions. And it is the thinking of us coming together that both establishes the jurisdiction of laws as a condition of state and the venue as a condition of state. That makes your constitution. And your constitution doesn't have one article. It's got 13 articles. Because it deals in a linear equation with the communication skills, contract, punishment, and rewards and damages, and all these things are spelled out in our book when we establish our constitution. And we, as trustees of this constitution, have only one responsibility, no matter what you think, no matter how you think it, whatever value you placed on it, it must come together so that the language is written in the truth.
And
you have unlimited, you've got the yellow pages of Los Angeles County of subject matter to put in your constitution.
Mm-hmm.
But every one of your subjects must be written properly so your sentences are mathematically balanced. We're not saying you can't do it. Just we're saying if you're going to do it, we're going to go ahead and we're going to check it for the values of your prepositional phrases and assignments.
Then basically what you're saying that if a person goes to court, they've got to deal in truth, which is what they're speaking
in, the truth.
In the truth. Dealing in the truth, in the present tense.
Now tense.
Now.
Pre means no, contract. Future doesn't exist. The past is not now.
Is the word presentment then? What does the word presentment mean?
It means pre means no and sent is contract. So if we have no contract, it's now time.
So
now hyphen time.
So if I say, well, I'm making this presentment to such and to the IRS.
No, the word claim.
Claim.
C-L-A-I-M is a quantum word.
Okay.
We have a dictionary that redefines all of the negative words. 520 negative words in the book. And negative phrases that are used by you 9 out of 10 times in any given sentence, and they are corrected into quantum definitions, quantum words, which are now time words. And the reason I gave you those words is so the accuracy of learning how to communicate and write contracts can be adjudicated, so that you have a now time document. Remember, you can only have one idea in a sentence, one idea in a paragraph, and one idea in a story. And when you get that, if you've got a 20-page document with one idea, it's pretty tight, isn't it? Especially if you've got 20,000 words and it all has one idea. Now, that's making a linear equation before a world court that said, I know how to read and write with exceptional skills to fix and do things correctly. As a judge, you want me to give you that same judgment and prove my position of judgment to you when I give you an answer. See, as fast as you're throwing arguments at me going, well, this is my presumption of things, we go right back to 2 plus 2 equals spell 2. You see, you don't want to be tried with 2 plus 2 unless it's written down so you can see how it's spelled and that you have an accuracy. You don't want me telling you what it is. Write it down. Show it to me. The World Court doesn't take oral arguments. Neither does the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court will take and listen to an oral argument provided that the document's written so tight in the truth that they're saying, okay, there's a few questions we'd like to ask you. That's why everyone that goes and becomes elected by the United States Congress, like you want to be a Supreme Court judge, you got to go through some pretty tight scrutinies. I mean, they're going to put you in front of a board and of judges and a board of congressmen and senators and the press, and they're going to drill and drill and drill because you're going to be making decisions that are going to affect 300 million people. And they don't want you to be a presumption, an opinion, or a modification. They want the T's crossed, the I's dotted, and they want to know exactly where you're at mentally and physically. And when you satisfy everybody's rules and regulations, when you say something, they listen because you've been tested. You can't make mistakes.
If there's law, there's remedy. Is that correct?
Yes.
Then do you get to use past law? I mean, isn't that what attorneys do? Is one finds this one, one finds that one?
Where is the continuance of evidence of a fiction contract from one fiction contract to another fiction contract? When I go to court, every judge that says, well, Mr. Smith versus the Sioux Railroad in 1923, the judge ruled that and says, Your Honor, I wasn't born in 1923. There's no continuance of evidence. They weren't here and I wasn't there.
It's just an opinion also.
And it's written in modified language, so it's an opinion and a modification, and therefore it's disqualified. You know, in the Lorenz case, the judge, because he couldn't beat me with United States codes, titles 1 through 50, dated from 1776, went back to 1750 England, brought in books where the paper was crumpling. He had a stack of them. And he tried to quote from England to win the case on the marijuana cigarette. With this, and I said, Your Honor, you, including all of us, have no continuance of evidence with 1750 England. He says, how did you know what sentence to say to me to disqualify all night long? I said, he says, I spent 12 hours in these books trying to find something to stop you. I says, no continuance of evidence.
That's the key words, no continuance of evidence?
No continuance of the evidence, yes.
No continuance of evidence. That's the key word for
it. Or for the continuance of the evidence in the fiction. There's a positive performance. Fiction doesn't exist. And fiction is a quantum word that says you have no continuance. See, because CON is a contract. Okay?
And what is that? For the continuance of the evidence.
For the continuance of the evidence in the fiction. Vacation equals vacation.
Now, what's the part about the spell state created?
Okay, the government passed a law that says you can't keep a state, subdivide it, and create a state within a state. In Pragerson versus Marinfino, California, which was a case I testified into, I charged Marinfino with creating a state within a state. Right after that, all vessels, all courthouses were titled as vessels in dry dock. Now it's no longer a state. It's not connected to the United States. It's just a vessel in dry dock under the port authorities. And all the judges got paid by the port authorities after that. See, they made a mistake and we found it. So they had to stop and correct and change everything. And so the yellow fringe flag flew. They took and changed the condition of the flag. And by changing that, they changed the contract. And everybody came in and says, we want constitutional rights. And it says, you ask for constitutional rights one more time and I'm going to throw you in jail. You don't have them in this courtroom. You're not in the United States. You're in Puerto Rico. Puerto racketeering. Have a nice day. So we bring in our own contracts with Title IV flags. And when you walk into the courtroom and you have your flag on your chest, my vessel flies a flag.
That's plus one. Can you take something like that in? Or they can turn around and then just nail you with contempt of court?
No. I come in, I put this on. My flag and my postage stamp. I'm the authorized postmaster transporting the vessel because I signed my bills of linear equation.